Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Brendan Kraft, engineering and producing the show. Brendan, how's the day going so far?
So far, so good, Bill. So far, so good.
We're in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios in the Bustos Media Center here in central Tucson, Wednesday, October 29th, 2025. The Buckmaster Show live streams with the help of the KVOI.com website. We're live streaming at buckmastershow.com. Also, the place for all of our podcasts that we have done in our almost 15 full years with the radio program. The telephone interviews presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Dr. Victoria Mazes is the founding executive director of the Andrew Weil Center for Integrative Medicine and is a professor of medicine and public health at the University of Arizona, internationally recognized as a thought leader in integrative medicine. Dr. Mazes is committed to helping individuals live healthier lives and pioneering change efforts that solve the American healthcare system challenges. Together with her team at the Weil Center, she created and implemented educational programs that have trained thousands of health professionals and impacted the care of millions of people. A highly sought-after speaker, she's the editor of the Oxford University textbook, Integrative Women's Health. She's the author of Be Fruitful, The Essential Guide to Maximizing Fertility and Giving Birth to a Healthy Child. Her newest book, Heal Faster, Unlock Your Body's Rapid Recovery Reflex, will come out January 13th of next year. She co-hosts with Dr. Weil a popular podcast, Body of Wonder, and she's been named one of the world's 25 intelligent optimists by Ode Magazine. You can learn more about her on her website, drvictoriamazes.com. Dr. Mazes, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you, Bill.
Very good news concerning a new study finding that COVID, the COVID-19 mRNA vaccine, sparks immune response to fight cancer. This is very exciting news.
It really is. I think for our listeners to fully get what's happening here is we have to take a step backwards. So when you develop cancer, something has gone awry with your immune system, because in general, we have so many cells in our bodies, and periodically, there's a mutation that may cause a cancer cell, but our immune system cleans it up. We don't develop cancer. And so when we actually get cancer, something is not happening correctly in our immune system. And we've had different kinds of treatments, from surgery to chemotherapy to radiation therapy, but the newest kind of treatment is called immune therapy. And what this study showed in that was just published in Nature, which is a very prestigious journal, is that when people were getting treated for cancer with immunotherapy and they happened to get their COVID mRNA vaccine, they pretty much doubled their survival. These are people with advanced lung cancer, advanced melanoma, and they doubled their survival.
Hmm. How in the world is that possible, Dr. Mazes?
Well, it is so interesting. It seems to have a non-specific, because remember, this was a vaccine for COVID. We are beginning to develop targeted mRNA vaccines to treat cancer. That is really personalized medicine. That's the future, where your particular cancer, when it's found via biopsy, someone will create a vaccine against your specific cancer. But this was a vaccine that was for COVID, and it wasn't any COVID vaccine. The ones that weren't mRNA didn't work. And they actually also, not in humans, because this was a study that was done in rodents, but they did a different kind of virus mRNA vaccine, and that also worked. So it's this non-specific effect that somehow boosted the effect of the immunotherapy, and lots more to try to fully explain it.
So it wakes up the immune system in the fight against the cancer.
That's a beautiful way of expressing it. Yes, it further wakes it up because these people are being treated with immunotherapy, but the mRNA vaccine, if it was received within 100 days of people beginning immunotherapy, had a doubling of the response to their cancer treatment with immunotherapy. It's mind-boggling.
What do you think the implications are of this? And of course, this is all very new stuff.
It is new stuff. Well, I think there are many implications. One is that you could imagine that the immunotherapy that's already been studied for various kinds of cancer will get tweaked a little bit. A little bit of mRNA might get added where that amplifies the effect, like was found for the COVID vaccines. That would be really interesting. Another is we may be able to delve deeper into what the mechanism is. Like, what is it that is enhancing the effect when the body is injected with that little bit of mRNA?
So there'll be more, I'm sure, what they call prospective and randomized clinical trials to come, Dr. Mazes.
I am sure that you're correct, yes.
All right. Another story that I want to bring our listeners up to date on. It's a new menopause drug that's been approved by the FDA. What's that all about, Dr. Mazes?
Well, this is also really good news because we have really not had all of that many medications that are FDA approved for treating menopausal hot flashes. That's what this new medicine is. And it's called Linquit, or elinzanetant, which is both of which are hard to say.
Yes.
But it is a new kind of medicine that targets receptors in the brain that that modulate temperature regulation. So the reason women suffer from hot flashes and night sweats when they are going through menopause has to do with the drop in estrogen at menopause negatively affecting their brain's ability to regulate temperature. And so this new medicine, the Linquit, is able to modulate those neurons. They're called candy neurons. It sounds like candy, whereas Halloween, but it's actually K-N-D-Y, and it's just pronounced candy. But it's able to modulate those neurons in the brain, and we're shown to cut the amount of hot flashes, severe hot flashes, by about 50%. And this is the second of this class of medicine. The first one was actually approved 2 years ago, and it's called Fizoa, and now this is the second. This one is interesting because it not only helps with the hot flashes, it also appears to help with sleep.
And this is the hot flashes and the night sweats are very common, correct? I think the percentage is 80% of women during menopause have these symptoms.
That's exactly right. And, you know, for some women, it'll just be occasional. But for other women, they literally have so much sweating at night that they have to get up and change the pajamas and change their sheets because they're really sopping wet. And so that's obviously going to significantly disturb your sleep. And so this medicine is intended a bit more for women with more severe, more persistent, more bothersome hot flashes as opposed to milder hot flashes. And the other medicine that we often use for hot flashes is hormones. We do hormone therapy, sometimes called hormone replacement therapy, where we give women estrogen, sometimes via a patch with progesterone. And those two medicines also really help with hot flashes. But some women who have had breast cancer or ovarian cancer, or they have strong family history of such cancers, they don't take those the hormones. And so it's really great to have a brand new class of medicines that can help with the hot flashes.
It's another tool for these women, and I'm glad that is another tool in the arsenal to try to give them some relief. That would be really horrible, having that kind of severe sweating at night. Dr. Mazes, let's take a break right here. We'll take our first break after I tell everybody about, and I'm glad to do it, Mona's Danish Bakery, our favorite bakery here in Tucson, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Steve and the team open the doors, and folks are waiting. I don't blame them when the doors open at 7. They are closed on Monday. They've got a great selection of European pastries, and Steve spent a lot of time in Europe. In fact, he grew up in Denmark, and he attended culinary school and worked in European bakeries. So he brings kind of that European sensitivity. And, well, he's got some terrific European-style pastries from his long experience over there. And, of course, the Danish Kringle is their signature pastry. And Steve reminds me to tell all our listeners Thanksgiving orders are now being taken. What type of pie would you like on your dessert? For your table, for the dessert, and of course, the dinner rolls as well. Mona'sDanishBakery.com is their website. Again, their address, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. More with Dr. Victoria Mazes after this message.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
Check out the project list for a new $2.67 billion regional transportation plan that Pima County voters will consider next March. The RTA Next Plan proposes improvements in the greater Tucson region to reduce congestion and support cleaner air, enhance network reliability, safety, and efficiency. It will also expand transit, bike, and pedestrian options for another 20 years. Voters will be asked to okay a half-cent countywide sales tax to continue RTA improvements. The tax rate will not increase. Learn more about the proposed plan and projects at RTANext.com.
Travel is in my DNA. When I'm ready to start another adventure, my trip begins and ends at our local airport, Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. TUS, where it's made easy to fly. Start planning now for your next air adventure by visiting flytucson.com.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. I like it. Brendan, you're going old school here on us. A little bit of Bobby Darin bump music. All right. It's Buckmaster segment number two with Dr. Victoria Mazes, the founding executive director of the Andrew Weil Center for Integrative Medicine. And she's a professor at the University of Arizona in medicine and public health. Dr. Mazes, for those that follow the show, there's a new season of The White Lotus, and something called benzos. the benzo use and abuse are kind of a highlight of the new season. What's that all about?
Well, benzodiazepines, or benzos for short, are a very commonly prescribed medication. And they're used for anxiety, all kinds of anxiety, social anxiety, public speaking anxiety, anxiety related to getting on an airplane and flying somewhere. And they can be effective. They can be quite useful, but they also can be addictive, and people can develop tolerance. People can get in trouble if they combine them with alcohol or some other kind of sedating medicine. And so in a sense, White Lotus does a bit of a disservice because it doesn't really convey the risks of the behaviors that the characters are behaving in when they're combining these medicines with alcohol on the show.
Yeah, and getting off the drugs cold turkey, as the principal character in White Lotus does, is probably not recommended.
Correct. When people are on benzos for a long period of time, if they take them every single day, they go through withdrawal symptoms. And so they really need to be carefully tapered off. Sometimes we have to give some kind of replacement medicine. Sometimes it's done at a treatment center. It's not benign to go off of medicines like this cold turkey. So again, some misinformation and even I would say dangerous misinformation conveyed on the show.
How do these benzos, these depressants, how do they work?
Well, we believe they work by releasing a neurotransmitter in your brain called GABA. GABA stands for gamma aminobutyric acid. And what GABA does is it has a calming effect on your nervous system. So it's a little sedating. It makes you calm. It makes you a little sleepy. When people are agitated, they are very appreciative of that calming effect. And from that perspective, it can work really well. So for example, if you're anxious and you're going into surgery and someone puts an IV in your arm and gives you a benzo, you're going to be very relaxed very quickly. And you're going to be very grateful for that. That's a wonderful way to use medicine if you need it. If you fly once a year on an airplane and you tell your doctor, I just get so anxious when I fly, and they give you, you know, 3 or 4 pills to use over a 3 to 4 year period, that's not going to get you in trouble. What gets you in trouble is when you start to use it day after day after day for anxiety, for sleep, and you develop tolerance, which means you need more and more to have the same effect. And sometimes you stop actually having any effect at all because your body just adjusts to the presence of this medicine. And that's one of the places where integrative medicine is so useful, in that it offers a whole wide range of other approaches to help you with anxiety.
Let's dive into some of those other alternatives to going on the benzos. What is the alternative, or excuse me, the integrative medicine approach to anxiety, Dr. Mazes?
Well, the good news is that there's a whole big toolbox full of approaches, and it ranges from, as I said, you know, the occasional use of a medicine if needed, to psychotherapy, and the one that's best studied for anxiety would be cognitive behavioral therapy, to many lifestyle approaches. Exercise can reduce anxiety. Breath work can reduce anxiety. Learning how to practice mindfulness can reduce anxiety. People use guided imagery, and there are apps that kind of take you through an imagery practice. There is changes in your diet. There is getting good sleep, music, prayer or meditation. There are dietary supplements. I mean, there are just so many different ways to do it that hopefully your listeners will say, I don't need those benzos. I have many other things that I could do.
And meditation can begin very simply. It doesn't have to be sitting and letting it go 20 to 30 minutes. Initially, 5 minutes would be a good starter for you.
That's absolutely right. There are free apps, for example, Insight, I-N-S-I-G-H-T, Timer. Insight Timer has these guided meditations, and they're of whatever length you have time for. There are some that are as short as 3 minutes. There are some that are as long as an hour. So you say, okay, this morning I'm in a big hurry. I only have time for 3 minutes, 5 minutes, 7 minutes, whatever it may be. And you sit in a quiet space and it guides you through a meditation. At some moment, perhaps on a weekend when you have more time, you might want to experiment with a longer meditative practice.
What are some of the dietary supplements that would be a good kind of entry level for someone that is having maybe not serious anxiety, but it is beginning?
Yeah. So I like to think of the supplements in kind of two categories. One would be the things that you take on a somewhat regular basis for prevention. And the other would be, I just got this phone call and now I feel so anxious.
Right.
And it's, you know, the occasional or rare thing. So if you're someone who is really going through a period of anxiety and it's there every single day, I really like to recommend a vitamin B complex called B50 and fish oil. Those two things together over time are going to significantly help the anxiety and kind of get it under control. But then if you need something just acutely because you're having trouble, I often recommend that people use L-theanine. L-theanine is a dietary supplement that comes from tea, but it's one particular component of tea. It's an amino acid, and that is available over the counter. It's very safe. It's not sedating, but it will help people sleep if they feel anxious, and that's why they're not sleeping. I like magnesium. Magnesium also very safe. Most people are a little bit deficient in it, and so taking some magnesium before bedtime can be helpful. There's valerian, which also helps with sleep, also helps with anxiety. So there's really many, many choices.
And of course, exercise, even getting 4,000 steps. There were some new studies that came out and showed that 4,000 steps a day can be very effective and protective for your health.
That's exactly correct. People might be interested to hear that there was a study that was done now, it's a couple of years ago, where they compared putting people on an antidepressant, which is, even though there's the word depression, we use antidepressants for anxiety as well in medical practice. And so they compared the effect of an antidepressant or running. And what they found was there were equivalent outcomes with the antidepressants and the running. But the people who ran had better physical health outcomes. Surprise, surprise, right?
Yeah.
So if you're going to exercise, you may lose weight, your blood pressure may come down, you may get a slimmer waist. All of those were better in the runners.
All right.
The problem was...
Yeah, go ahead.
Not everybody ran. Yeah.
I've only got a couple of minutes left, and I kind of want to tease our next segment, or actually our next visit in November. We'll be talking about your new book, and you put a lot of work into this book. What was the catalyst for the new book, Dr. Mazes?
Thanks for asking. In my experience, so many people learn that they have a medical problem, and they kind of give up. They kind of have this sense of, okay, now I'm doomed to have, you know, fill in the blank, high blood pressure or diabetes, you know, for the rest of my life. They doubt their ability to recover. And in my experience in integrative medicine, we have this incredible innate healing system. And the question really is, how can we better access it so that we can get well and get well more quickly, which is, of course, what we all want.
And the name of the book, Heal Faster, Unlock Your Body's Rapid Recovery Reflex. That will be coming out in January 13th of next year. Dr. Mays, is always a pleasure, and we'll look forward to your next visit.
Thank you so much, Bill. Talk in November.
Thanks a lot. Dr. Victoria Mays is the founding executive director of the Andrew Weil Center for Integrative Medicine, where she is also a professor of medicine and public health at the University of Arizona. Some very good news today that our lead story that we're talking about, how the COVID vaccine may play a role in cancer prevention. Pretty big story that actually was released in the magazine, highly respected magazine, Nature. Coming up next, our aviation contributor, Jeff Lattice, is with me in studio. We're going to be talking about the shutdown, how that could be impacting your air travel plans. Boy, especially as we get closer to Thanksgiving. I'm one of those that's going to be flying during the Thanksgiving week, and I sure hope that this thing is settled, because those air traffic controllers are working without pay, as are the folks over at TSA and the customs people, and it's no fun, I'm sure, when they didn't get a paycheck this week. All right, we'll take a break, mid-show break on the Buckmaster Show, back with Jeff Lattice right after this.
Located in the heart of Arizona wine country, about an hour south of Metro Tucson, Flying Leap Estate Vineyards Winery and Distillery Facilities are one of the most beautiful wine venues in the southwestern United States. Come relax and unwind at our spacious property and learn about Arizona grape viticulture and winemaking from our team of trained sommeliers, and discover the intricacies of the art of distillation. Learn more at flyingleapvineyards.com. Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary. Home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The News and Sun's media reach 75% of the region through newspapers, websites, social media, video, newsletters, and more. They also produce more than a dozen print and digital magazines annually for an audience of 70,000. Find them at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, covering your hometown.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
All right, Brendan Kraft, going old school here. I love it with our bump music. Brendan engineering and producing our program in the Green Thing, Zocalo Village Studios. I'm in the studio and Brendan's on the other side of the glass in the control room.
I'm in a mood today.
It's good. I like what you're playing. It's very old school, and I can dig that. All right, Green Things and Zocalo Village. We love Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park, 13-acre site, now home to Zocalo and all that great merchandise from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. And they do, at Zocalo Village, have the largest selection of pottery. Check it out. GreenThingsAZ.com is their website, and ZocaloVillage.com, their website. They're open daily. And check it out. Green Things, a destination in itself. When we do our telephone interviews, the live line presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Our contributor on aviation, JetBlue, retired JetBlue captain, Jeff Lattice, is with us in studio. Jeff's a highly decorated retired combat fighter pilot. He's worked at the Pentagon as an Air Force special weapons officer. He now trains pilots on business jets. Hey, Jeff, how are you?
I'm doing fine, Bill.
You know, that Melissa, the hurricane, had gusts up to over 200 miles an hour.
Yeah, it was quite an event.
You've flown a lot for JetBlue in the Caribbean region, and of course, summertime, and this is very late in the hurricane season. Technically, it still is. What was the procedure when you had these kinds of events? Just fly as far away as possible?
No, believe it or not.
You carried out operations probably up until...
If people were watching the news like yesterday morning, and a lot of the reporting was coming out of Kingston.
Yeah.
And I was noticing that the winds there were only like 20 knots.
Right.
Right. You're probably still going to have the airport open if the airlines hadn't canceled everything yet.
Right.
It's up to the airlines how they want to operate and how they're going to cancel things. Mm-hmm. But they usually will go all the way up to the day prior and then they'll start operations. I'm sure that they're probably operating a little bit out of there now. I did see some video of... of the airport there in Montego Bay.
Right.
And it was pretty devastating there at the terminal. So I don't know what actually happened there, as far as the runways and all that. That's right on the coast.
Yeah.
There's a Scandals or something that's right next door.
I've actually flown in, as you have, as a passenger, of course, to Montego Bay and Kingston. And the thing with these tropical, and I've actually been through a Category 2, I believe, when it was Hurricane Bertha, that we were on St. Martin, and we took a direct hit. This would have been 1996, and that thing roared for about 18 hours. The eye went directly over the hotel. We spent a lot of time in the bathroom, even in the bathtub at one point, because we thought the windows were going to blow out. But the thing with these hurricanes, you mentioned the airfield at Kingston. If you're far enough, and it doesn't have to be all that far out of the path, the wind will... not be
30 miles.
Yeah.
I mean,
30 miles, and it's going to make a huge difference with the wind.
It depends on the storm.
Yeah.
You know, like some of them are more concentrated. And I'm not the expert meteorologist. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you probably have somebody that can talk more professionally
tomorrow,
about
actually,
that.
Tomorrow, actually, we're going to talk about that.
But the more intense a storm gets, it gets concentrated. You might see the rain events further out, but the wind event is more centered from what I've seen. So this was very centered right there, kind of cut across central Jamaica. It missed Kingston, the heavy part, and also missed Jamaica or Montego Bay on the other side, but cutting right straight across there. It was rain that was their biggest event. Now, you were asking, about flying around them. I've flown over hurricanes.
Have you really? What altitude did you have to go to fly over a hurricane?
You know, 30, mid to high 30s. And when you get above them, you can see the bands, right? And you can avoid them just like you would avoid a thunderstorm over the Midwest. As a matter of fact, Sandy, if you remember that hurricane, came up the East Coast and hit New Jersey and New York and flooded the subways and all that. When it was still over the Caribbean, I flew directly over the eye, and it was like nothing was going on at all.
Wow.
So now, once you start getting down lower, into the 30s and 20s. Hurricanes tend not to be that high. I mean, there's going to be cells that are going to poke up quite high. But from what I've seen, usually the clouds remain 30,000 feet or below, except mm-hmm. for where the big thunderstorms are penetrating up through it. Mm-hmm. And you can see those pretty easily.
Yeah, I mentioned St. Martin. That runway, as you know, is the airfield is so short that it's one of kind of, it's an activity for people on the island. They will gather at the beach at the end of the, or at the beginning, well, at the beginning of the runway as you're making your approach, and you'll have a 747 just coming in like from KLM from Amsterdam. Yeah. And that's an amazing thing.
Well, people will come up there, and just so your audience knows, there is a beach. Mm-hmm. There's a two-lane road, a little teeny road, a chain link fence, and the runway.
Yeah.
That's how close it is. Yeah. And people will go up and hang on that chain link fence and get blasted by the takeoff blast. As a matter of fact, and we kind of giggle about it because people, and they get, there was a person killed by a JetBlue airplane.
Was that really? From the blast?
By the blast. She was holding on to the chain link fence.
Yeah.
And couldn't hold on any longer. Mm-hmm. By the way, that airspeed is 200 knots.
Right.
It's like the hurricane.
Sure. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And she couldn't hold on anymore. Mm-hmm. Blew her across the road, and she hit her head on the curb on the other side of the road.
Oh, my gosh.
So, yeah, it sounds like a lot of fun, but I advise people not to do it.
No. We should the shutdown, we've got Thanksgiving coming up. The air traffic controllers, it's insane that these people who we depend upon are not getting paid. I mean, it is just, these are such critical positions. And we were talking before we went on the air, Burbank had a situation at the Burbank airport. They were being controlled. It was an uncontrolled airfield. They were being controlled out of San Diego, I think, took over the chore. LAX was just too busy to handle Burbank,
I've operated during COVID. We were talking when we were off air, going into Las Vegas when it was uncontrolled. They had no controllers, no ground control, no tower controllers.
Be like flying into Ryan Field or somewhere.
Or you make position reports and things like that. It's still not the safest way to operate. No. Obviously, we have controllers for reasons. Mm-hmm. But that's the operation that they would probably be going to. It's not good. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you're asking for an accident to happen, especially in busier places. And Burbank, the way it usually happens is you're getting handed off by controllers, right? So you go with what's known as a center controller, which is a big, they have a lot of airspace and operating airplanes at higher altitudes. And as you descend, you're getting passed off to other controllers until you get into like approach control. That's where it stopped in Vegas for us because their approach controllers were also affected by COVID. So it was the center controllers that would line us up, but then they would say, okay, you're on your own, you know, and we would just be on our own at a certain point and be up to the pilots to coordinate, hey, we're landing here, so don't be taking off when I'm landing type of communications. It's a lot of airplanes. And that kind of people are going to step. You're going to see delays. You're going to see a lot of cancellations over the next couple of weeks. I'm not sure when this thing's going to end. If it goes on up until Thanksgiving.
Oh, boy.
You got major travel crises going on at that point.
Right. All right. We'll take a break right here. More with Jeff Lattice. And Jeff not only knows about commercial aviation, he also spent time in the Pentagon. And we'll talk to him about the Tomahawk missile and could those be coming to Ukraine? We'll talk to Jeff right after we take a break.
Vero Amore, where every certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore is located in the lovely Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell.
Also, check out the full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
A proposed $2.6 billion regional transportation plan will be funded by a half-cent sales tax if Pima County voters approve the plan and tax next March for another 20 years. The tax rate will not increase. Funding from the 2006 voter-approved plan is expected to bring a $3.67 billion economic impact to the greater Tucson region. The sales tax investment for RTA Next will lead to a similar economic impact and more than 88,000 jobs over the next 20-plus years. Learn more about RTA Next funding and proposed projects at RTANext.com.
This is your captain speaking. Thank you for flying with Tucson International Airport, where you can avoid the hassles, long lines, and the expensive parking of the Phoenix Airport. Skip the traffic, breeze through security, and park with ease, all while supporting your community. Every flight from TUS brings more destinations and better connections right here to Tucson. So next time you're planning a getaway, remember, fly easy, fly local, fly TUS. This is your captain signing off. We're cleared for takeoff.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show and the Green Thing is Zocalo Village Studios. A great weekend getaway and actually a midweek getaway. Today's Wednesday. Good time to head over to Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Enjoy the land of enchantment. Perfect time of year over there. Start your planning for, it's about a three-hour drive. Not bad at all. Go to their website, southwestnewmexico.org. And there's a ton of stuff to do, a lot of outdoor activities, and the leaves are turning, and it's really pretty over there. Let's continue in the Green Thing, Zocalo Village Studio. Retired JetBlue captain Jeff Lattice. Jeff retired after 20 years with the company, with JetBlue. He flew nearly 20,000 hours of accident-free aviation, which is good. Right? Commanding the Airbus A320 and the A321. Worked at the Pentagon as an Air Force Special Weapons Officer during his time in the Air Force. And he was a combat fighter pilot. And when he was at the Pentagon, he was working on all sorts of stuff that weapons systems that most of them have become reality, I guess, Jeff, right?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, most of them are produced right here in Tucson.
Right. Yeah.
So,
The Tomahawk.
Tomahawk, yeah. For one. Now, that wasn't my program. That's a Navy program, but I had to know a lot about Tomahawks because they try to sell Air Force Tomahawks, I would be the guy that would brief the generals on it back in when I was working that job on what a Tomahawk can do. And they are very capable weapons. They've been around for a while now.
20 years, right?
Oh, more than that.
Really? Really?
Yeah, they use Tomahawks in Desert Storm.
That was my gosh.
Over 30 years ago now, Bill.
Yeah. Oh, jeez.
Bill Clinton used Tomahawks back when he was president, as a matter of fact. So they've been around for a long time. There's different versions of Tomahawks. most of the tomahawks that we employ these days are non-nuclear. They are conventional warheads. They have certain warheads that can do certain things. Mm-hmm. You know, and without getting into, I don't know what's secret anymore, mm-hmm. so I won't get into any more than that.
What would it mean to Ukraine to have that tool?
They would be able to threaten Moscow very easily and probably many other major, like industrial or petroleum type targets all across Russia. And I just put it that way. They can hit just about anywhere in Russia from Ukraine.
But it doesn't, we've kind of backed off the United States and there was a threat to give them the Tomahawk, but now...
I don't understand the whole, you know, dynamics of what's going on, but obviously these were a threat to Putin. I mean, they could target Putin if they wanted to. So I think that kind of, you know, that kind of makes us a little edgy on what the Russians would do to us. So the plan, from what I understood, was to sell Tomahawks to NATO, and then NATO would either sell or give them to Ukraine. That kind of fell through as well. I don't know where it stands right now. This discussion is going on. I think a lot of it was might have been a little bit chest thumping, just to go, hey, Russia, you need to start paying attention.
Seems like the big story weapon-wise is the drone that folks will be studying that and probably are studying it very thoroughly at all of the war colleges.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I can only imagine.
It's kind of changed the game, hasn't it? Some of these really low-cost...
And
it's almost hardware store type variety drones.
It's amazing. So I can only imagine with a few dollars and a little bit of research on how to weaponize these essentially off-the-shelf drones.
Right.
And what some of these companies might be doing right now with them. I'm actually fascinated. I'm sure a lot of it's kind of below our eye level that we can't see. But it's fascinating stuff to me as far as weapons technology and what goes on and how to make things all, you know, work right.
Were drones they're so accessible now. People use them for photography and everything. Was that ever a threat when you were flying commercially?
As you got to remember,
along with people doing crazy stuff with like lasers and
goes along with the laser thing. Lasers are a little more malicious.
Yeah,
I think the drone. And when I was flying, you know, this all started about 10 years ago with the drones, and you know, people didn't really have a full understanding of what they were doing, and they would get up into traffic patterns for the airliners, and there were a couple airliners that did impact them. They're very heavy. I shouldn't say heavy. They're heavy for their size, because of the battery pack.
But something like that hits a jet engine.
Oh, it's probably going to trash the engine.
Yeah.
It'll probably come into the cockpit if it hit the windshield, because it's dense enough that it would probably penetrate. Yeah. Birds typically don't, but a battery pack in a drone would probably come through a windshield. The pictures I saw, it hit the wing, and it basically penetrated through the slats, the front leading edge of the wing, and into the wing a little bit. So there's a lot of energy there if you hit one. I think they're getting better at it now, getting the word out. Don't do this kind of stuff. And, by the way, you do have to register drones. You can't just go out and fly them. You're supposed to register them with the FAA.
Did you ever have a bird strike when you were flying?
Many times.
You did.
As a matter of fact, right before I retired, I had a bird strike that was a little different because I was descending into Los Angeles. I was about 19,000 feet, and we were still going fairly fast, descending on the arrival, and I heard a muffled explosion sound. And I was going, well, that sounded like, you know, like Tupperware blowing up in your microwave kind of sound, right? You know, when it overheats and you forget to take the lid off, and it makes that pop sound.
Did it go into the engine, or?
Well, as I didn't know what it was until after I landed, and I'm taxiing, and I could see on my windscreen where it hit by now, because it was dark. It was nighttime. So, yeah, that was a fairly big bird. At 19,000 feet, that's really unusual. Most of the time when you have bird strikes, they're down low. In the Air Force, I hit big birds flying low levels. Usually in the airline business, if you do have a bird strike, they're usually little birds. Occasionally, you might hit a bigger one. But if you're in the profession of flying airplanes, commercially or business jet wise, you're probably going to have a bird strike at some time in your career.
Boeing got some bad news today. They've lost their business in India, right, to Russia?
Well, I don't know if it's necessarily Boeing,
but
I would say this is more a hit against the United States.
Right.
That India has signed a contract with Russia to build some Russian airplanes. And it's all due to the tariffs that are going on right now. This is kind of a pushback from the Indian government saying, you know, we can play this game too. You know, we don't have to buy airplanes from you guys.
Air India could be using Russian-built aircraft, commercial aircraft?
Yeah, it's...
Or is that more for, are these more for military?
No, they're commercial.
Okay.
They're about the same size as the new Airbus 220, which is a smaller airplane that hold about 100 people, two engines on the wing. So that's what they've contracted to build in India, but they're going to be Russian-designed airplanes. Otherwise, they would have been buying Boeing or Airbuses.
You flew Airbus. You are not a Boeing guy, right?
I have a Boeing type rating.
You do?
I got a type in 737s. I never really flew them. I thought I was going to go to Southwest Airlines, and they required you have a type rating in the airplane at the time. I ended up going to JetBlue instead.
Max, the Boeing Max is now... All that is, seems to be put aside. Everybody seems to be flying the Max, don't they?
Yeah, they got the bugs pretty much worked out. I mean, it's under huge scrutiny. And oh, by the way, Boeing, they do have some good news. They do have deliveries that are happening now. And I think that you're going to, you know, in the airline industry itself, there's been kind of a hold on new airplanes just because of what's going on with Boeing, and Airbus has some engine problems that they've been dealing with. So all the airlines kind of said, you know, until you guys fix your problems, we're not going to buy any airplanes. So now Boeing has fixed their problems, mainly with the 737. There were some problems with 787s and 777s that they've fixed. So Boeing is coming around. So that's good news.
All right, Jeff Lattice, I hope we get this air traffic control issue and all the, hope we get a settlement here and everybody can relax for the Thanksgiving holiday coming up. Thanks, Jeff, for what you do and what you're doing now. Okay.
My pleasure.
All right. That's going to do it on the Buckmaster Show midweek edition on behalf of Jeff Lattice and Brendan on the other side of the glass, Bill Buckmaster, wishing everybody well.